the person and work of the Holy Spirit. That might be a subcategory that we will explore here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to our program. We are in Acts chapter 2, looking at the first 13 verses, the day of Pentecost. It is the day that the Spirit is poured out on the church as God is establishing His church. As we begin our time together today, Pastor Chris reminds us once again of who the Spirit is and just exactly what He is called to do, what His design and intents are. That's all straight ahead here in Acts chapter 2. Join us with this edition of Abounding Grace. Here's Pastor Chris.
The Spirit gives life. Spirit implants life in the heart. The Spirit takes a dead heart and plants life there. That's the new birth. Romans 8 says the same thing. The Spirit is life. Spiritual life created in the heart and soul of man. So at creation, you had this signal that life was coming in the creative act that was about to happen. And we have language that describes the work of the Spirit. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So just at creation, as life came, now we have a great moment in history again. A great moment. This is signaling the same kind of thing that we have at creation, where the Spirit has come now to bring new life. Life in the hearts of people who are dead. So there's the first symbol, life. The wind, the Spirit, he's the wind. He's signaling life has come. Then you have the second, fire. Notice that Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit is described as fire. John the Baptist said this, "Whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to carry. When he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Long history with fire, hasn't there been? You remember when God passed through the pieces and Abraham was sleeping, the whole event was a fire event. When Moses walked up to the burning bush, the thing was on fire, wasn't it? But it was there that God spoke. The Lord spoke from the bush on fire. We think of the fire leading Israel out of the wilderness. It was there. The fire led them in a pillar of fire. There he was. What did the fire symbolize? The presence of God. The presence of God. So what do you have here? You have two symbols, wind and fire, life, and the presence of God in the coming of the Spirit. Well, what's the meaning? What's the purpose? I have to confess, I was overjoyed working on this sermon. I have to say, I don't recall spending much time in my ministry on Acts 2. And Acts 2 really affected me this week as I was working on it. Maybe I've heard these things before and it just went one ear and out the other, but I never thought about the terms of the uniqueness of what Pentecost is revealing to us and showing to us of what these symbols are saying, what they mean. Maybe I can capture it this way for you tonight, and I can help you maybe see this as with the same way that I had the great moment in my study this week. Typically, we ask the question, that, and I'm sure you've asked it, Pentecost must mean that the Spirit has finally come. And therefore, the Old Testament saints did not have the Spirit like the New Testament saints have. And we look at Pentecost as proof of that, right? You ever had that question? I've had that question. I've struggled with that. I struggled with that a lot. A lot of people struggled with that. But there was something here that I saw that I hadn't appreciated before. If the coming of the Spirit means new creation and life in a powerful way, and the fire means God's presence has come, where does that life and where does that presence show itself? Where is that presence found that Pentecost is showing us? Where does life come from? So the presence of the Spirit, the power, the fire of the Spirit is specifically found on this day of Pentecost. Where is it found? Well, I think you see it right there, don't you? Notice where the fire rested. It rested on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. There's a specific fire that seems to be falling on the tongue. That's very unique here. It's wonderful to think about it this way, because then we understand why gospel ministry is so important. From the tongue, the Spirit would show his power to the ends of the earth and bring life. From the tongue. This is what makes Pentecost unique. I'm going to get there and hopefully expand this a little bit. Look at the verse there. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. His presence fell then, you'll notice, on that tongue. The Old Testament showed us this in small glimpses. You think of Isaiah, who wanted to go out and speak. And the first thing that had to happen was he had to drop down and fall down. Something was wrong with the mouth, wasn't it? And I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't go out and start speaking. I've got a real problem in the mouth. And then the angel comes in from the, grabs the tongs from the altar, and he comes and he touches his mouth. And then he's able to go out and speak. It's graphically depicted in the Old Testament anticipating this day in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, you know this well, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know, Lord God. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you. There's the life. So from the tongue, he's going to speak and life's going to be given. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and I'll cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there's this sound that begins to happen. Behold, a rattling, and the bones come together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these are the bones. These bones are the whole house of Israel. So from the proclamation, life would come. Life would come. How did God restore life to Israel? How did he fulfill the Psalms? Give us life again. Give us life again. Psalm 80, restore to us life through the presence of the Spirit, by the tongue. What made this so unique is what happened. Notice in verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now what happens? All these nations are then mentioned as they heard the apostles speaking to them in what? Their own language. We hear in our own languages the wonderful works of God. What happened? The presence of the Spirit filled them as he touched their tongues and fell upon their tongues and gave to the apostles right then in their known languages. In other words, it would be like me speaking Dutch right now. That would be a marvel, let me tell you. That's what happened at Pentecost. It would be me speaking Swahili. It'd be me speaking those kind of things. That's what the Holy Spirit in fire fell upon, the tongue. This is what in Corinth was something. They messed the entire thing up and fell into the gibberish and ecstatic speech of the culture. That was not what tongues was. Tongues were known languages. That's why everyone marveled. Whoa! We're hearing these guys, these Galileans, speak to us in German. You see? That's what was going on. filled them, the Spirit filled them as he touched their tongues and gave to the apostles, That's why this is a unique event, known languages to speak. And it was no gibberish. And the immediate effect of the Holy Spirit through them was a resting on the tongue in fire, that he was present in their tongue, giving them utterance as these nations were coming into the kingdom. See, now though, it's different. Now it's different. Because now he's giving utterance in fulfillment. Everything that all the Old Testament prophets wanted to see completed, now the Holy Spirit's giving them utterance to talk about, to speak about the wonderful works of God, to speak of Jesus in fulfillment. That's what Pentecost was all about. This is how life came. This is how the Israel of God came in fullness. This is how to every nation now, the Babel problem that we discussed this morning of one spirit trying to conquer themselves. No, this is done by the work of the Holy Spirit tearing down the barriers and making one people in the earth of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That's Pentecost. The filling of the Spirit, as we hear, I want to be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is this. It was to speak the gospel in the known languages of the peoples, clearly. That was to be filled with the Spirit, when the Spirit would make that so clear so that everyone understood it. And it's as if the floodgates were opened right then and there. The Spirit worked in that small nation of the earth. So it wasn't that the Spirit hadn't come before. He worked in that small nation of the earth to proclaim the word and the gospel. And now resting on the apostles in fulfillment, in such power, in a new creative act, the gospel was being made known to everyone. That's the beauty of this. And from there, life came. The two symbols, fire on the tongue, life in the heart. Life in the heart, new birth. By the Spirit. You know, that's how what Peter said happened in 1 Peter 1. You have been born again, Nicodemus. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through what? The living and abiding Word of God. Again, gets back to the image thing. Why would you need that? You got this. Why aren't we satisfied with this? All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So by this good news preached to you, fire in the tongue, you were born again by the Spirit. Fire, life. Fire, life. I think that's just overwhelming because it confirms everything we're doing. Doesn't it? So much to learn here. And now so much to apply. Let me give some applications of this tonight, and we'll come back to it next time. I want to say this first, that this is a ministry of the Spirit, what we're doing, Holy Spirit. He's not repeating this unique historical event in the way it happened then, in that kind of dramatic manner, but he is telling the church that the ministry is a ministry of speaking to one another the wonderful works of God. God sends pastors. We have the Word and the Spirit. That's how the kingdom of God is built. His presence when the Word is spoken is a fire. See, this is it. And it's been translated into how many languages? That's what we're doing. And this is, when this is spoken, the Spirit brings a fire as it's spoken. As Paul said, that's when I preach. I'm doing it in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power that way. We are to preach the word as the Spirit has given utterance. Where has he given utterance? Right here. That's why the command of God is preach the word in season, out of season. That's the utterance of the Spirit. It's his ministry, first thing. Second, you need to have confidence in that ministry. You need to have real confidence in that ministry. Think of all these people there for the first time who heard about Jesus. What was Pentecost meant to celebrate? The anticipation of a fuller harvest, right? Well, next week we're going to come back, and I just thought up my sermon title right now, The Sermon That Shook the World. How about that? 3,000. First sermon to make this point for you. This is how the ministry is going. This is how he's going to do it. You know what's amazing about that sermon? It's nothing like what we're hearing today. That sermon is not how to have a better marriage, how to be a good dad, how to be a better father, all this stuff, seven steps to this. It's nothing like it. He has one aim in that sermon, to take the Old Testament, to say, now's the day of fulfillment, and I'm going to prove to you from the Old Testament scriptures, Jesus is the Christ. You should repent and believe in him. And they were cut to the heart by that sermon. Cut to the heart. What do we do? Believe and be baptized. We'll get to that great conclusion, right? This is how verse 14 begins. They said, you're all drunk, Peter says. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. Here comes the Spirit's fire. Here it comes. And addressed them. This is what was uttered by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And he starts preaching Jesus. That's what he does. Jesus told us this is what the Holy Spirit would do, didn't he? But when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So this is what the Spirit primary focus in ministry is doing, to have voices lifted up to proclaim Jesus. And fire will be there, and life will come in your hearts through it. So being filled by the Spirit, you'll notice here, is when the word is spoken faithfully through his servants and life comes. That's what we're asking in the prayer of illumination, aren't we? That's what I'm asking from God. That's what we're telling you. Love the ministry. It's like pulling teeth today to get people to see this. This is what he chose to do. Love what's being spoken to you. Consider who's speaking to you. The Bible keeps telling you that. I was just listening to Joel Osteen today. And you know what he said? All of you who sit under my voice, said it about three or four times. Red flag. It is not my voice you should be hearing. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness to the Son so that you hear his voice. It's Jesus' voice who calls you. Love what's being spoken to you as the word is preached. That's why Paul said, will not the ministry of the Spirit even have more glory? You know, just as a side note, Pentecost used to celebrate the giving of the law on Sinai. Think of what we're celebrating now. In contrast, the ministry of the Spirit. That's what Paul contrasts in 2 Corinthians. For there was glory in the ministry of condemnation. The ministry of righteousness must exceed it in glory. That's what's being said here. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Therefore, having this ministry, the ministry of the Spirit, by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart. For what we proclaim is not us, ourselves, but Jesus Christ. There it is again, as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So you have to have, it's the Spirit's ministry, you got to have confidence in this ministry. Third, the filling of the Spirit also applies to you. We have a very special view of the ordained ministry, there's no doubt. But I don't want to undermine, also in this, your responsibility to speak. Because Paul said to all people who are Christians, so that we don't have a Pentecostal, some kind of elitist view, this, be filled with the Spirit, all of you. How so? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be filled with the Spirit is to speak the things of the Spirit, to talk of the Lord, to talk of what Christ has done for you. You know, that is to be filled with the Spirit, to encourage one another, to edify one another. It's not some super baptism of gibberish, trust me. That is so contrary to everything the Lord is after. You all have the same Spirit. So speak the things of the Spirit who bears witness to the Son. Let me give you a fourth application. It was and is the Spirit's intention to gather every race of people as one. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Galatia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. Arabs. All of them. All the peoples of the earth. The coming of the Spirit, to make sure I give a good testimony and clarity of this, kills racism in the Christian community. Kills it. That's what he's doing. It sees us all as one in Jesus. As the fullness of his power goes to the ends of the earth, he saves a multitude no man can number of, what do we see in Revelation 7? All around the throne, of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. I'm going to give you a final one. I'm full of applications tonight. One more. Verse 13. Others mocked, saying they're full of new wine. They're drunk. I am pretty sure Paul was inspired to say, don't be drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit, so nobody would actually use this to justify being drunk in the Spirit. You see? But its inclusion is to say, some people, even when they hear the word of God spoken clearly, that's what happened that day in their own languages. Some people, even in the church, when they hear the word of God spoken clearly, will do anything they can to push it away. Anything they can to write it off as madness. It's unbelief. To deny the ministry of the word, hear this clearly, to deny the ministry of the word is to deny the ministry of the Spirit, because that's how he works. And that if someone wants to write it off and associate it, you could associate it with drunkenness, the work of the Spirit. Does anyone want to do that? Of course not. Next time, we're going to see power as 3,000 people are brought in from darkness into light. What a glorious day Pentecost was, and I hope that gives you some appreciation for the uniqueness of the event and what is still being continued today by his power. Let's thank him together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you for the day of Pentecost, fulfilling your promise that the Spirit would come and bring forth a ministry of power to the ends of the earth. As the tongue is given utterance by the Spirit, as fire rests there, life would be given by the Spirit in the heart. And this is the very ministry we get to enjoy. We just need you to clear away all the things that pull us away from this and have confidence in it. Thank you for instructing us today in righteousness and in truth and showing us a wonderful gospel and now salvation completed by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Fill us that we would speak to one another in such a way, the wonderful works of what you have done in Christ for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our hope and prayer is you've been encouraged by today's program. If you would like to take advantage of many of the resources we have available on our website, might I suggest paying us a visit? agradio.org. Videos hosted by Pastor Chris, articles written by Pastor Chris, past radio programs are housed there as well. Again, agradio.org. Plus, it's a great place to give tax-deductible donations to the radio ministry, as it is through those donations that we're able to continue on this radio station. Again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Questions? Address them to questions@agradio.org. And don't forget, when you visit agradio.org, you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts as well. Well, tomorrow we'll turn our attention to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It's here that we find the best church growth strategy ever. It's a list that God gives us with a sneak peek. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
This list involves and describes the disciplines of the Christian faith. Then that's just what they are. They're the disciplines of the Christian faith. This list requires sacrifice. This list requires effort. And the key word that stands out there, you'll notice there, is that they were devoted to this. Well, that's a big word in our day, isn't it, that we need to think about. They were really committed to this. They were really, it means persistent in continuing with these things.
That's tomorrow. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.